Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thank you, Anna, and welcome to this week's edition of the Minister's Friend podcast, everyone. It's been said that the quality of our corporate worship together as a congregation is directly related to the quality of our personal worship, one-on-one with Jesus, or as a family, throughout the rest of the week. I have found this to be absolutely true. In today's episode, we continue my interview with my friend Father John Davis of the Abbey Mission and Fresh Expressions U.S., and our topic is personal worship. When we are not consistent in our personal worship of Jesus, then it's way too easy for our personal preferences on music, style, and other traditions to get in the way of our corporate worship experience together. If we've not made God the center of our lives through family worship during the week, then the congregation can too easily get sidetracked by the agendas of powerful personalities on Sunday morning. God is either the central focus of our worship, or He's not. And that leads us to today's topic. Let's rejoin my interview with John Davis. So, if we can kind of change gears just slightly on this, we've talked about this beautiful picture of the imagery and the architecture, and this has been great for me to learn these things, you know. Let's bring it down to the personal worshiper level for a moment. In my other life, I happen to be a coach for an organization called Natural Church Development, where I go in and I assess churches and help them. And in an awful lot of churches, one of the things that is really lacking is what we call inspiring worship. What do you think it is that is causing, really, I'm actually concerned about this, so many North American people in particular from truly entering into worship, truly entering into God's presence and experiencing worship instead of just kind of going through the motions in a service?
Yeah, I mean, I think that once again, it's going to vary from place to place and from tribe to tribe, if you will, as far as what people value and how they've been set up and what they're used to in that regard, and the sort of almost the expectation that they bring to a worship service. Whereas really, it should be much more. I would hope that over time we can turn the focus, because I've been in churches that have split over worship styles.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And it's painful to watch, but it's because people have preferences. People want to do something in the way that they always did it.
Yes.
And to challenge that is to challenge their faith experience in that regard. But I think ultimately what it comes down to, and I just will share a story out of my life that really changed for me and became a sort of a paradigm for me to understand what worship was trying to do in the life of a believer and such. I'd grown up, as I said, I became a Christian when I was 13. I started playing the guitar almost immediately, started leading worship when I was 15, 16 years old in church and all that sort of thing. And I went to college, wonderful school. I can't do this without mentioning Berry College, which had such a strong formation, such incredible years of my life where I was formed in faith in so many ways. My first quarter there, we were on a quarter system. Things were great. I was sort of, high school had been tough for me. I'll just say it that way.
Okay.
And college was the place where I bloomed and just kind of prospered as a person and began to understand who I was and those kinds of things. And the end of my first quarter, I met a girl. And her name was Debbie, and man, I just, we were in love, and this was great, and I thought, this is why God brought me to Berry, and, this was it. I was, head over heels. I probably had had some very heavy crushes before in my life, but this was the first real love of my life. And we dated for about 3 months, and then at the end of the 3 months, just to cut the short story, she dumped me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. And now I was brokenhearted. I was busted and not doing good. And I was really struggling. I, just in my own sort of like feeling betrayed, feeling hurt, feeling wounded, and such. And, you know, as you sort of press in, I've heard the best thing that can happen for any guy in terms of their faith is for a girl to break up with them. Well, that was kind of true for me. Debbie was a Christian. I was a Christian. We were prayed together. We had a good relationship, things like that. But it sort of propelled me to Jesus because I had nowhere else to go,
yeah.
You know, kind of thing, just in this brokenness. And then a few months later, after some healing, you know, had taken place in my life, and I was kind of putting myself back together, I'd been away for a weekend, and I was driving back to Barrie, and Barrie is often touted as the most beautiful. They win awards as the most beautiful campus in the world.
It is a gorgeous campus. My wife went there.
Oh, okay.
So, yes.
So it's an incredible place. And I was driving back on. It was a spring afternoon, and it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd been away for the weekend. It was Sunday afternoon, and I was driving back on, and I thought, man, it's just too beautiful of a day. I'm going to go down to Victory Lake, which mm-hmm. was on the campus,
yep.
and I parked my car, and I got out, and I just was going to walk around this beautiful spring day, flowers blooming, you know, driving down the lake. I saw couples that were walking together. One couple was flying a kite, and so that was kind of in my mind. I walked around the lake, and I sat down on this bridge, and I started skipping stones, just sort of, I don't know if I was really praying. I kind of say I was sort of thinking toward God.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, Lord, thank you for this day, beautiful spring. You know, you're so good. Thank you, Jesus. You know, those kinds of things. And then I started thinking, you know, seeing those couples and stuff like that, you know, God, it'd be kind of nice to have a girlfriend again, someone I could spend time with, you know, sing songs to, bring flowers to, and stuff. And it was almost at the end of that, a sort of throw up of see what you can do about that. And I got quiet, and what I've come to recognize is the still small voice of mm-hmm. Jesus in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've felt Jesus speak to me, and he said, John, why don't you want to hang out with me? Why don't you want to spend time with me and write me songs and bring me gifts and take walks with me? And I realized in that moment, John, that Jesus was inviting me into a relationship with him that I didn't know about.
Wow.
An intimate relationship
yes.
with him.
I
was really discovering in that moment Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Mm.
And I began to weep. And all I can sort of say is that when I felt that and got that prompting from the Lord, my answer was yes. Jesus,
yeah.
that's what I want. And I can tell you at that point, everything changed in terms of my relationship with the Lord.
Wow.
I went into a deeper place. And I realized that ultimately, this gets back to the worship, ultimately, that's what we really want people to experience. We want them to have an encounter, as
yes.
we talked about, that sort of engagement. We want to have an encounter with the risen Christ,
yes.
you know, with the Holy Spirit sort of being, you know, Jesus breathed on the disciples on the Easter evening, the Holy Spirit. And so my prayer lots of times is when I get up to lead worship, and I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did it this past weekend. My prayer is, Lord, breathe your Holy Spirit upon your people here.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, let them encounter you. It's not about the music. It's not about how polished I am, because I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about offering people a chance to connect with God in a very personal and intimate way.
Yes.
And I think the thing is that when we started, that's what I want to train people in, that and give them that expectation that this isn't just about, oh, we're going to sing this song. Oh, and I like this song that we're singing. I don't
yeah.
like that song we're
right.
singing.
Right.
It's not about those things. It's about I have an opportunity in this moment to enter the very presence of God and to encounter the risen Lord. And I believe that. You know, I believe that the Holy Spirit still is at work. You know, and we are to worship God. And think of what it's when Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, he says, we are to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that, because it's sort of that word and sacrament, you know, kind of thing. If we think of sacrament as an outward visible sign of an inward spiritual grace, that's the prayer book definition.
Yes.
And a means of encountering Christ, the presence of God. You know, worship, there are only two sacraments that we would sort of, gospel sacraments of baptism and communion. But there are a lot of things that are sacramental.
Yes.
And I think worship in that sense of whether it's actual music or whether it's just sort of an invitation to be still, it's a place where I get to, there are outward visible signs. It might be the lyrics of a song. It might be a posture of kneeling or whatever it is, but these are opportunities, outward visible signs, for an inward spiritual grace mm. to connect with God in a very personal and intimate way. And I think that's what that expectation is I think of is what is missing in a lot of churches as they gather for worship. It, you know, kind of thing. They don't come with that idea that, oh, this is I'm going to meet Jesus today. I'm going to meet the Lord today as I walk in through this. As I walk into the space, whatever it might be, as I walk in the space, I have an opportunity to commune and to be with God. And that's the reality. And to be honest, it doesn't just happen at church.
Yeah,
it happens every day. I mean, I spend my mornings. I keep a guitar next to my desk, and I'll pick it up typically 5 or 6 times a week at in my sort of morning devotion, and just, you know, sing to the Lord. And sometimes I just sing, and sometimes I'm actually doing songs, you know, kind of thing that are for out of my own sort of worship experience.
Yeah. Is Jesus the love of your life? Don't be too quick to answer that question. How is your intimacy with Him? How desperately do you desire to spend time with Him? How often do you truly encounter the risen Christ? And as a church leader, how are you teaching your people to consistently worship God outside of Sunday morning? It's really easy to just read a book or article and focus on the methodology of personal worship, but even with a methodology, sometimes we don't enter the presence of God. Personal worship really is more a matter of one's heart condition than a process. Methods can help us get there, but they are never to be the focus. God is. Philip Wagner identifies 3 powerful keys to grow in personal worship. I've put the link to his article on the topic in today's show notes. His keys are simple and, frankly, powerful. First, recognize that God is holy. God is set apart. He's majestic. He's worthy of your awe and respect. This will help you keep from mistakenly being nonchalant in your personal worship of Him. Second, direct your worship to God. Too often, our devotional times are about the Bible or prayer needs or otherwise more or less self-focused. But worship must be solely and completely God-focused. And third, worship earnestly. That is, your worship should be passionate. It should be intentional. It should be sincere. Don't jump into automatic pilot here. Be purposeful in your encounter with the Most High. As we all focus on personal worship, our corporate worship will inevitably improve as well, because our own hearts will be more aligned with God before we gather together. I'll conclude my interview with Father John Davis next week as we answer the question, why do we worship? Is the Minister's Friend a blessing to you? Would you please subscribe on whatever platform you listen, and please also leave us a review? We really appreciate your help. And be sure to tell your friends and the pastors and church leaders you know about our podcast. Your recommendation to them is the only way we can grow our audience. I hope this interview on worship has been helpful to you and your church. Please check out the show notes for additional information and suggested resources. And thank you again for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!